Okay, everyone, welcome to All Colors Are Beautiful. It's a talk about an interactive light art installation. There'll be about 10 minutes at the end for questions. The people speaking today are Franz Pletz and Lila Fish.
Hi. We're here today to tell you about our art project we did in the summer. Fplatz is here to tell you about the software. I myself know some about the hardware. And during this talk, we want to tell you some stories about what happened, tell you what is behind the screen, and we hope to inspire you for your own art installation someday.
So we are from Munich, from the Munich CCC. We are founded in 1999, and we have over 80 members. Without the support of our club in Munich, this wouldn't have been possible. So we have to mention it, of course. We have a web page, but the wiki is more up to date. So look at the wiki about our projects. For example, we are going into schools to teach children about privacy and Facebook, social network, and so on. We have some hardware projects, software projects. Just look at our homepage for that.
Yeah, and we mention the club because almost everyone or many people there are involved in the project. It all started out with the mood lamp, which we have around there for some years now. We have lamps in our hackerspace, actually, and you can turn the lights on and put them in any color you want with your mobile phone over the internet. And the mood lamp is an RGB LED, which is controlled by an Atmega. And so with this lamp in the background, which we've had for a while and which almost everyone has at home in our hackerspace, because it's very versatile and you can control it with different protocols, we came across the building Puerto Giesing. It's an old office building and a supermarket downstairs. It was used during this summer by artists in Munich before it's going to be torn down sometime next year, probably. We were offered to do something in there, and with lots of windows and the blinking lights installation in the back of your head, which you might remember, they had a talk 2 years ago, and the projects are pretty well known. They transform buildings into black and white displays. We thought, yeah, let's do this, but in color. Sounds very simple, but the problems already started inside the building. Something you really don't expect. Of course, to get to the windows, we had to open some doors. Most of them had keys, some didn't have keys, so we tried something new or practiced something we already knew. We got in at some point, we had to open the key, we had to take out the whole lock. So the lamp was there, but it wasn't perfect yet. It was for private use. And for this large building with lots of lamps in it, we had to make some adjustments. We had components for multiple protocols, which we all took off because it's way too expensive if you want to buy 100 lamps or if you want to make 100 lamps. We also didn't want to have a special power supply for each lamp, so we changed to a higher voltage and put a switching regulator in, so we had a lower supply current and could supply more lamps with just one power supply. And on the old lamps, we had screw terminals, which was really horrible. When we built the 3C here, some of us really got crazy because the contacts are very bad with the screw terminals, and it's lots of hard work. Instead, we put in Ethernet connectors, which we hope would be more stable while they're stable. They're very easy to put up because you just plug in the Ethernet cables, but we found out they're not as stable as we hoped. But it works somehow. Yeah, and these lamps are hand-soldered by us. About these lamps, I already told you it's a microcontroller. Over PWM, it controls the RGB LEDs. And the protocol it speaks is RS-485. They're supplied by 24 volt, and the switching regulator switches this to 5 volts. As I told you, we want very few power supplies. Our power supplies can supply 16 lamps. In Puerto Gising, we had 24 lamps in every line of windows, so we had to use two power supplies. Here we have 16, so one is exactly enough. And we don't want to have extra trouble with the data, so we just put it all into one cable. The data needs two conductor pairs, and the rest is for power supply. And there's one in between, because I told you we need two power supplies, and they need to be separated, so there's one lamp in between, that's why it's blue. It just transports the data. And the hard thing is, with the bad connections, if one connection doesn't work, you can't say which one it is. You have to go through the whole line and try every one of the lamps. We hope on our installation here that it's a bit more stable and we don't have to tear everything down. So we have these beautiful lamps, and we have RS-485 to tell them when to go on and which color to do. And they need to find this out somehow. So we have master PCBs for each line. There's one PCB which translates from USB to RS-485, and it gets the USB from a laptop. In Puerto Gising, you can see how it really looked. So there's a simple schematic, but actually it's a laptop lying around in some room with lots of stuff lying around, and the Ethernet cables were coming just from the room. They were cut off. They were the house cables. And when the house was left, they just cut off everything, and we just found out which one is going to which line. So it looks very different than one would think. Yeah. And RS-485, I should maybe explain, it's a versatile communication standard. It was already used by the lamps, so this was practical for us. And it connect several devices in a bus structure, which is exactly what we wanted to do.
Okay, on to the software. Here you can see a little schematic about all the components we have developed for our project. We didn't use any blinking light software because it wasn't really fit for our purpose, but we can import blinking lights XML files, for example. So we are compatible to blinking lights formats and blinking lights tools. Basically, at the top, we have a wrapper editor called ACAPAD, which writes to a database. We have a spooler, a queuing manager called ACAPSpool, which then transfers the animations to GigaGoil, which is basically a display driver for the hardware. And GigaGoil also outputs all the frames, which is sent to the hardware, to a player, which you can use to watch it. To get into the details, big slide, many text, but so we have the ACAPAD, which is the web editor, which you have already seen in our little trailer. It's written in Python with Django and a lot of JavaScript with MooTools as framework. We have our spooler, which is actually a little Python script, which is doing the queuing and the streaming. It's also written in Python, and basically creates a database for animations, selects a random animation, or if there's someone who wants to stream animations, lets him stream or not, based on some conditions. Then we have streaming clients. We have a Python library, which you can use also here at our Congress to write your games, animations for our little wall. Then we have an ACAP player, which is a live viewer, which talks to GigaGoil. It's written in C and SDL for kind of historic reasons. And then you have GigaGoil, which is the display driver, which directly talks to the hardware over a serial bus over USB. It's written in pure C and gets the raw animations from the spooler and just puts them on the screen, and also gets the timing right if it's not direct streaming, but an animation with fixed durations for the frames. So now a little demonstration of our web editor. It works, yeah. We've already customized it for our installation here, because here we have 6 rows and 16 columns, whereas in Portuguesing we had 4 rows and 24 columns. So it's basically a web app. You can just paint your animations here. Here you can switch the color, pretty easy enough. On the left you have tools, for example, to fill a frame with a color, or some other more intelligent tools if we make here a new frame and just paint some stuff. Just paint some stuff. We have, for example, the Game of Life tool, which just does Game of Life on the screen, or more sensible tools like the Move tool, some tools to flip the screen. What's really nice, a gradient, for example, like that. So you can really, really colorful and really flashy animations. On the bottom of the paint tools, we have frame tools to duplicate the frame, make a new frame, copy frame, paste frame. Easy enough. On the right, we can edit the frame duration in milliseconds, so it's how long the frame should be displayed, and title, description, author, if you want. It's also movie duration, which is put in seconds, where you can define how long the animation should run. So if you have not enough frames, the movie or the animation would just loop until it reaches your duration. Yeah, so much for the editor. You can also, that's the really important thing, save your movie. You just click on here. And you have to fill on the damn fields. And it got saved. You can also download the animation in the Blinking Lights movie format and upload animations in the Blinking Lights XML movie format. So if you have legacy animations, just upload them. Yeah. back to the demonstration. Yeah, good.
So we've told you about the software, about the hardware. This is what it really looks like from the inside. This is inside the building we were working in the summer. We put some transparent paper into the windows because else you would just see very bright dots. And this works for the windows to be a smooth color. And you see the software working with the hardware. We are adjusting a lamp which doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And yeah, it's a very nice look from the inside. And someone is just telling the lamp to be blue, I guess. Because that was the bad contact problem. And some other things that happened. So we were very, very happy in the evening or in the middle of the night because we just put up the last lamps and we hacked together some code to just to do every line to fade to a random color and each window after the next to change its color to this random color. What happened looks really nice, and I'll just show you. Okay, so we expected the whole picture to just change its color in the left and run in this direction. Instead, the first and the third row are working together and the second and the fourth row are working together. This is because we didn't communicate, right? Some of us thought we start with the lowest ID on the right, inside, and some of us thought we start on the right, outside. Yeah, but luckily we had the software and we just fixed this in software. And then we forgot about it. So yesterday we put up our installation here. Had the ideal IDs perfectly right, and the same thing happened again. So at some point we remembered, but nice nod.
Another nice thing, we had a company which donated us a terminal, a touch terminal with a touch screen. So we put a terminal outside sometimes when we were there. So passersby could create animations on the touch screen with our web editor. And yeah, could instantly see the animation on the screen, which they just created, which was very nice. You could also trigger an animation by sending an SMS or text message. You just had to text play and the ID of the animation, which you got when you saved the animation. You got a message with the ID. You just sent the text, and the next animation that would be played would be your animation. And of course, the SMS was free. It was just a normal handy lying around, plugged to a computer with a SIM card inside. So just a normal mobile phone number. We tried to implement direct streaming at first, but we didn't succeed at first. So the code was active, and while the code was active but not working properly, another group called Aquarium came along and wrote Blaptris, which is a Tetris game on our building, and they just run it basically on the building, and we didn't know about it, but the problem was it was working. I didn't expect that it would be working, but it worked. The problem was that GigaGoyle, display driver, just locked up if they disconnected. So after they played, the whole installation was broken. Yeah, a little fail. But it was nice that they independently developed it. They just looked at the source code, understood it, and just hacked up their Tetris clone. We also have a video of that, and maybe they are here, and we can also play Tetris on our Acker wall outside. One moment. Yeah, that's Tetris playing Umfährt durch Giesing. live. One second, you see, there's the laptop.
Yeah, and it's really difficult with just four lines to play Tetris. Yeah. I just have to say this. Okay.
So here at the Congress, we have rebuilt our installation with plastic boxes instead of windows. You may already have seen it in B01. Here we have six rows with 16 boxes. We did that because this makes text possible, because with only four rows of pixels, you just can't display text. There's no font that's small enough so that you can recognize the letters. So that was a problem in our original installation, which we fixed here by adding two extra rows. Here we have six buses, and every bus has 16 lamps that are powered by just one power supply unit. That's exactly how much it can support. And you can play with it. It's just an IP right now, but we will get a domain name soon. We tried the whole day to get a domain name. .congress.cc.de or something, but we didn't get it, so here's the IP. You can look in the wiki. We have a website there called All Colors Are Beautiful, where you can look up the current IP or host name if you got it. Yeah, and you can also code games and visualizations. We have kind of rewritten module for that, which Iggy developed. Where is Iggy? He wants to present it.
Hello, everybody. I'm Iggy. I'm very tired. I didn't have much time to help with the All Colors Are Beautiful installation in Munich the first time, but I really liked the possibilities to play with it interactive. With the small Python scripts and the Team Aquarium did with the Tetris client, and so I wanted for the Congress, I wanted to provide a way so that anyone has a mostly easy opportunity to bring live content to the screen. And I had my plans were a little bit different. I hoped that we would be finished way earlier, like yesterday evening, and I would have the whole day today to clean up the code and make this nice. I didn't do that. We fixed tons of strange bugs in the installation, so that now it is running in a nice, functional, minimal state, and the streaming library is working. And I can show you. Okay. This is the library itself. It has a few. You don't have to. You use this stuff, and you can read it, and you can understand it why it works that way. But the I will show you in a moment how you can call it, and that's really easy and really nice, I think. But I. Again, we have some basic stuff to make a connection to call to talk to the to the ACAP spooler. We have frames, we have colors, we have mask. We can move around, and what we do is that's not the right one. I have to clean up this repository. Yeah, basically that's what you do. You subclass a stream, which has a title and an author. You define a method that inits a frame, like defines what the first frame is. This one is a frame that will be played for 1,000 milliseconds, so for 1 second. It is of color 25500, so that's red, and you return that frame. And the other function you have to define is next frame, which provides the last frame as an argument, so you can use that to construct your next frame. And you also have to return a frame this case, we take the last frame and invert it so that the frame will be filled with 0, 255, 255, which is kind of cyan blue. And in the end, you just create your blinking stream and run it. And yeah, then it will play on the screen. It will not immediately play on the screen to prevent the guys in the hack center spamming the B01 area with epilepsy-inducing red-green hectic blinking. There is a touchscreen terminal standing behind the installation, and every time somebody makes a stream request, buttons pop up, allow and deny, and you can select allow or deny, and then the stream will be played or it will be not played. And if it is played, there is an abort button, so while it plays, you can abort it if you don't like the hectic red-green blinking. That's mostly it about the library. I think people having experience with Python can dive in right away and fix my gross mistakes and stuff I forgot and yeah, improve it. And I hope that I will have the time to write some more stuff, write some documentation for it, so it's really easy to use it, but it works, and have fun with it. It's out there, fork it, and make push and pull requests and whatever the Git way is to do this. Yeah, and we will handle it somehow. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Iggy. Now, what we have is the software and the hardware. The software is made to be very versatile, so we can map any LAMP IDs and we can just put them in any order we want and in any size of a matrix we want. And so we can make any kind of display we like and then are fast to adjust the software, ARCAP, Ed, and GigaGoi. And we hope when you do your own stuff that you make it easy for us or yourself to change the format of your applications, because then it will be used again, probably. So the software is there for anyone. The hardware, we have 100 lamps available right now, and we have over 100 plastic boxes standing out there. We're already having plans to use them outside. I mean, there's a camp coming up and many ideas how to use the boxes outside. The design for the hardware is available and there are many ideas around how to improve, especially the plug connections, the Ethernet connections. So this is what we have. You can use the hardware designs, you can use the software, but there's a lot of other stuff important. First thing is the finances. This was not so easy. We were very spontaneous, of course, and that's not good. You should start really early with the project. We had the big luck to get support from the CCC. They have a project support, which you can ask for, and maybe you get some money. We got some money landed from them. We also try to get from different municipal sources money. That's important to try different sources, because if one says no, maybe some other one will say yes. The town of Munich finally said yes when the installation was all finished and everything, but we could give back the CCC its money and could cover most of our hardware costs. Yeah, it's supported by the, what is it, art, cultural reference, referent for art. And also, yeah, so you see, we were waiting for different sources of money and it was getting very tight with the timing. And we got this great idea to just ask people who are interested, because so many people told us, yes, this is great, do this. And we said, okay, you can support us, you can just help us to buy one lamp. So in the end, we can have a whole display, and we got a lamp godfather, that's how we called them, for every lamp. Is anyone of the godfathers here? Or godmothers? I don't know. One. Aww. Yay. Okay, I've... So you can look at this picture and try to find your window, because what we gave them back is they could choose a color for the window, and this color would be shown sometimes in between. This is the colors they chose, and it's also to be seen on the webpage, and they have some link and some lines and a picture, I think. So they saved us, really, because they gave us the money to get started, and with the other money we could buy other stuff, because what you shouldn't forget is not only the electronics are expensive. When you buy, I don't know, 100 screws and lots of transparent paper, this is also quite a bill to pay. And you have to drive around and stuff. And so we did everything for free, but we got at least the materials. And to get this, you should start early. I just repeat this again. Then another thing, I just told you, we were very spontaneous. Don't underestimate lead times for components. We were really worried to get enough Atmegas before starting the project. We were soldering for about 2 weeks. We were putting the stuff in the house for about 2 weeks, and we had lots of people helping us. We had people coming to us and just helping for an hour or helping for a week. And so after about 4 weeks, just working time, not developing the lamp, not thinking about concepts, we had the whole thing standing. And what was done anyways in between was the developing. You should leave time for that. What you see here is, for example, an idea how to stop the colors of the lamp to shine over to the next window. We threw this away in the end because it's very time expensive and has little use only. But it's good to have time for these experiments. And, for example, look at this wonderful construction to put the lamp in position with most inexpensive and most normal materials. Very inventive.
So our last slide, how you contact us. While you're here at the Congress, you can drop by at our IRC channel, arcap@ray.blafasel.de. Yeah, it's the Blafasel Netz. It's what we use in Munich. We have a webpage, arcap.muc.ccc.de, where you get more information about our installation at Puerto Giesing, also our address of the Munich CCC, some email addresses, and of course the code. It's on github.com/muccc. Yeah, play with it and have fun. And thanks for your attention.
So in the end, we just want to thank all the people who were involved in this project, wherever they were, whatever job they did. And we are not the ones who did this, because there's a large group who did this all together. Everyone put in ideas, and it was lots of people involved.
Thank you. Thank you. So if anybody has any questions for them, I'll come bring the mic to you. Actually, can you come out here and we'll meet up?
The Munich installation was about 100 lights, 100 lamps. So what was the total cost of everything, the lamps and everything, the power supplies, what have you?
Okay, that's a bit of a difficult question, because we can't really say this. We used some stuff from our lab just because we had it, and private people put stuff in. I just can say we wanted about 23 euros from the godfathers of the pixels. That is exactly the price for the electronics. That is exactly the material that is used just for one lamp. Everything in between, I don't know how much are 100 LAN cables and paper. I can't really say the number. 2,000. Yeah, it's the 2,000 from the city were used up in the end.
Anybody else? Raise your hand. Okay, it doesn't look like there's any more questions, so thank you again. That was really wonderful. Okay.